This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next-door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass. Macca, who's just stepped out of the studio for a very quick, brief moment. We are going to talk a bit about the impact that COVID's had on our community and in particular the impact that it's had on people with disabilities. And to talk to us about this, we have the Chief Executive of an organisation called Australian Communities, and their name is River Knight. What a great name, by the way. Good morning to you, River.
Good morning, Joy FM. How are you?
Very well, thank you. My name's Tass, and I'm in awe of your name, River Knight.
Yes, it's a name, unfortunately, where I need to be on my best behaviour at all times because everyone remembers me.
Yes, of course they would. Of course they would. I'd love to know how your parents arrived at River Knight or how it happened.
Just growing up in a bit of an alternative space in the community, ended up with something a little bit different. I think growing up going to Catholic school, it was fantastic having a name that made a lot of my teachers very uncomfortable. But I think it was just that experience of being in a very alternative sort of household.
I think it's super cool. And I've always wanted a name like that. A name like mine just goes on forever, so it's incredibly nauseating. Now, River, talk to us a bit about the impact that COVID's had on people with disabilities. What have you learned? What have you found?
One of the things that we've really noticed through our work at Australian Communities is a real disconnect for people with a disability through COVID, because they had to go through a time where a lot of the community-based services, their community access, people coming in to visit them, their access to family and their peers, a lot of that got shut down at different extreme levels. So it created a lot of impact, especially in terms of the trauma and the mental health impact for people. And there's a really long road to try and support people to get back out into their community and feel safe to do that. And especially when we're working with a group or a community group where they already have a history of experiencing a bit of marginalisation, exclusion, and that community connection is really important.
And where do you get your information from? Where is this data coming from?
So the data that we rely on a lot, and you know, I guess as a service, we're very connected with the other service providers in the sector, and we have a really good community focus as service providers. But the statistics coming out from the National Disability Insurance Scheme themselves show that during that period, where we look at, say, one quarter of the year, which is around $4 billion in spending on these sorts of services, we saw a 30 to 40% decrease or underspend of people's funding. So they had the funding there, but a lot of the statistics coming from NDIS show that around 30% of that funding isn't being used because they simply can't use it because they can't get out into the community.
Can you give us some examples, River? Can you give us some examples?
Well, for example, I might be supporting, for example, a young adult who may have swallowing difficulties, may have some difficulties with their health where COVID would be an extreme risk for them. When we have that sort of pandemic happening, they can't go out and about in the community and take that risk, which means that they can't go shopping. They can't go to their nightclubs. They can't go to their community groups. They may not be able to go to their group day program. They also have restrictions then on making sure they don't have too many visitors at home because we don't know necessarily what's happening with the spread. And then when they've got staff coming into their own home, we've got to make sure that those staff aren't going to lots of different people's homes and then accidentally picking it up and bringing it to a whole group of people that are highly at risk.
Wow. Does this mean that there's a whole lot of unspent money sitting in the NDIS accounts?
Well, I can imagine that a lot of people's plans, where they get that individual little bucket of funds to provide support to things that are essential, there's going to be a bucket of funding there that is going to be underspent. And that doesn't roll over to the next year, typically. It's use it or you lose it. And next year, we're hoping that we don't have an experience where NDIS staff say, hey, you didn't use that last year, so we're not going to give it to you this year because maybe you don't need it. I haven't seen too much of that, but I have had that experience with some people who are now reviewing and getting new plans for 2021 and having to make an argument to say, look, it's not that I don't need the community access funding. It's actually, there was this thing called COVID that meant that I couldn't actually go out in the community as much as I needed to.
Surely the NDIA must be a bit more relaxed about this funding, given these circumstances.
We would hope so. We would hope so. And the policy, of course, is very respectful and very flexible. It comes down to the individual planning and the staff making sure that they understand that when they go and do those reviews with people on the ground.
Okay, I'm beginning to feel a little bit suspicious about this. It sounds to me like another way to actually cut back funds.
Yeah, look, I guess that the funding is in a sector that needs as much support as possible. So if there is an underspend, there's certainly not a lack of need. It means that perhaps there are other projects and innovation that funding can be used for, because there's certainly a huge need out there. The statistics show that, you know, with a third of Australians with support services being cancelled during the pandemic, we need to make sure that those people can get back into the community that they really value.
And River, when I was looking at your media release during the week, some of the numbers I found quite startling. So I don't know what these represent in terms of percentages, but there was something like over 100,000 people with disabilities who essentially got disconnected from their support services. That is a lot of people.
It is a lot of people. And there's also, I guess, the statistics that don't show up officially, which means that there's people where they may not have had an official service closure, but they haven't been able to attend those services simply because they've decided, as people with really high risks of medical complications, that they just simply can't attend those services. So their services might have not have been cancelled, but they certainly don't want to be going out there and taking that risk. So there's that hidden statistic as well of people where they really did need to go into safety mode.
You know, what concerns me about this most of all is that I'll never forget a conversation that we had in this very studio with a wonderful woman called Rhonda Galbally, who looked at me straight in the eye and said, there will be a point where all of us will experience a disability at some point in our lives. It might be for a short period, it might be for a long period. And so something like the NDIS is a very significant and important program that all of us will at some point probably need to use. And we need to actually look after this program and advocate for it, like we actually care for Medicare, for example.
Yeah, it is a big part of the community and the supports. And one of the biggest issues, of course, is that there's 15,000 service providers. So even when people do get the funding, trying to find and connect with service providers is a massive task, which is why that Developing Australian Communities and Australian Communities, our company, have our expos that are running, Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney and Western Australia, COVID willing.
River, we've almost out of time, but I just wanted to thank you for your time this morning, and thank you for the work that you're doing in advocating for people with disabilities. Keep up the great work, and please come and talk to us again when you've got some more insights at some point in the near future.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure, and again, what a cool name you have.
Thanks very much, and I'll keep listening out for Joy FM.
Good on you.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.